League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues now.
What's happening, Paul? What's up, Paul? Most interactive show, and I really enjoy that aspect of it. Y'all keep it up.
Get involved in the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776. Here's Paul Gallant.
Good morning, because the chance of them having two bad alleys is rare. So, and I like to get a guy right back on the horse right away. You sit them out, the longer you sit them out, the longer they have to think about it. And so, I wish I could start tomorrow.
I thought Dusty Baker did a very good job in game one of this series. I thought he made some, I think, very good decisions. I think going to Brian Abreu really worked out early. I liked going to Christian Javier to go up against Julio Rodriguez. I know he gave up the home run a little bit later. I thought that it was a really ballsy move to put David Hensley in a spot where there's one out in the ninth inning instead of Mauricio Dubon. Hensley put together maybe the at-bat of the game and helped set the table eventually for Yordan Alvarez. He put Alvarez in left field. Alvarez made a nice catch in left field. He also had a nice throw home at the plate to throw a guy out. I think that there are a lot of decisions you can look at with Dusty and say, hey, good job. But I think there are some questions to be asked about, first off, the lineup that he put together today. Jake Meyers is going to be in center field instead of Jazz McCormick. You also have no Trey Mancini, which I like. Aledmys Diaz is taking his place in the seventh spot as your designated hitter. But you're also, once again, rolling with Martin Maldonado as catcher. And for the life of me, just get frustrated every single time I see Maldonado out there, especially with the idea that Christian Vasquez, who came in and got a pinch hit, is a person who has proven success as a hitter in the playoffs. Is he that much worse of a catcher defensively calling games than Martin Maldonado? I think that Maldonado is sometimes overrated when it comes to that, and that maybe he gets the ability to continuously be in the lineup because of preferential treatment. Understandable in a clubhouse where he's been a big part of it and everyone does seem to love him there. You know, I'm not in that clubhouse every single day. All I'm saying is that I feel like Vasquez is the better player. The better player should play. I'm sure we'll see Vasquez at some point, but you heard Dusty Baker right there talking about Justin Verlander. They will go back to Justin Verlander, and Baker even said, like, yeah, I mean, I wish we could bring Justin Verlander back in there tomorrow. And that's the move that you have to do, even with Verlander's recent postseason issues. You have to do that, obviously. But there's another question I think that is fair to ask when it comes to just the pitching the rest of this series. And I heard the bench talking about it this morning. John and Lance were talking about how Lance McCullers is a guy who struggles on the road, and he is your Game 3 starter Saturday when this series moves to T-Mobile Park in Seattle. I'll say this about Seattle. For anyone who has lived there, it is just a totally different kind of climate. It's outdoors. There's a roof for the stadium in case things rain, but it is completely outdoors. There's no walls or anything like that to protect you from the elements. If it happens to be a nippy day, if you will, okay, well, how's that going to affect Lance McCullers' pitching? It can get a little chilly, a little nippy in Seattle, and I do think that that is a 6:30 first pitch, game number three, between the Mariners and the Astros. So something to keep in mind, and it's right by the water. Might be a little mist in the air, a little fog. Maybe Lance McCullers tonight would have been the move and Framber Valdez for game three instead. But Valdez does get the start tonight. The other question that was raised on the bench, and I enjoyed the conversation about alternative rotations for the Astros in the postseason, was about Christian Javier. Javier as a starter, do you use him that way? Or do you use Javier as a reliever? And I mean, you saw from the get-go that that's the way that Baker wants to use him. I'm of the belief that Javier should be used as many times as possible, and that this is the year that you can use him as many times as possible. He's done a little bullpen work this year. He's pitched out of the starting rotation too this season. But I think with Javier, you give him as many opportunities to get into a game. And I'm curious as to what the Eugenio Suarez home run will do for his future reps, his future opportunities. But I can understand the argument for maybe putting Javier as your day three starter. We've seen Lance McCullers come out of the bullpen in clutch situations, and I know it was 5 years ago against the New York Yankees that he did what he did with all the curveballs in a row. But, yeah, I don't know. That's something to keep an eye on going forward. 713-780-3776 is how you call in. It's how you text in as well. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. You can join us in the chat section there and get after us on Twitter. Akalon says, at Sean A. Mapes, behind the glass. Some comments. First off, some people are trying to replicate game one in as many ways as they possibly can. And this includes the game one day drinking. Asymmetric Risk says he's trying to do that. Todd the Show says, yeah, I'm going to start after 1 p.m. to keep it the same. I got to buy from the same place too. Well, what are you buying is what I'm curious about. Here's what I'm wondering, Sean Mapes, and I know that my old co-host Vanessa used to get very mad about when I would go to a ballpark and imbibe in a cocktail while with a credential. I'm sorry. Some people, they like to keep it 1960s, maybe with less grab-assing and sexual harassment of secretaries, although, no, I'm kidding, and a little alcohol while on the clock. You know, that used to be fine, and I'm debating today, since I did not, before Tuesday's game, where I got in a little bit later than I would have liked, but I did get there on time, if I'm going to have a chance to go to center field to the Hornitos bar and maybe get a little El Tiempo Margarita.
Well, it depends. I mean, like Asymmetric Risk and Todd the Show, they're trying to keep things the same to keep the juju right.
Okay.
So it depends. Is Sober Paul the key to the Astros' victory?
I don't know if I'm going to be able to stand a whole game just drinking coffee.
Well, you can bring back the full 1960s vibe and smoke a cigarette in the press box.
I wish you could rip heaters in the press box. That would be hilarious. Yeah, you can go full 1920s. I'm going to go to the game wearing my finest fedora.
Wearing a hat that says press in
yes.
the...
Hey, Jordan, champ. Can you tell us about when you slapped the ball out of the park like a Charleston flapper girl on the side of the street who decided to stiff you on your drink? See? I don't know if I said anything right
you
there.
You smacked that pitch from that hurler to next Tuesday, you see?
Smacked her like I smacked my wife around. Not cool, guys.
No.
1920s, that was not cool.
Yeah, but, a lot of bad stuff.
I mean, geez. You watch any like movie from back then with the melodramatic acting and like the orchestral score in the background and all of a sudden, there'd just be a moment where the male lead goes to the female lead. Listen to me, toots! And, like, smacks her. It's like, jeez, okay. But anyway, can I change things up? I'm asking permission. I will obey. This is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. I will obey. But I don't know. There's a part of me that feels like I did everything that I was supposed to. I wore this shirt, which I also wore on Tuesday. It's my Nolan Ryan throwback Astros pullover jersey. Do I have to do the same routine? Because I'm not a superstitious person. I don't believe in ghosts. I don't believe in witchcraft. I don't believe in any of that stuff. You might. I don't. I think there's just coincidences. Though at the same time, every now and then I do find myself following the same patterns because I can't even explain it. But I'm not superstitious. I'm not even a little stitious.
Kareem My Jeans on
Twitch. You can't say that.
Yes, I can.
You can't say that.
It's a man's name. Kareem My Jeans on Twitch.
No, don't say it.
Says drink, Paul. You're not going to be sitting or standing in the same place.
Well, Mr. Kareem, thank you.
No, it's Mr. My Jeans. If you want to be informal, you call him Kareem. Kareem.
Kareem, please. Say his name right. Damn it. Oh, God. Twitch.tv/ESPN975 at Sean A. Mapes behind the glass. If you want to join, you know how to do it. Junior Broncos might be the leader in the player haters ball when it comes to the Seattle Mariners and their fan base. Hashtag see us rise sounds like a Cialis commercial. It does. It actually does. That's the Mariners hashtag online. See us rise. Whoa. Okay. Got a little blue pill? Hey. How am I not doing endorsements for that? I know I'm 33 years old, but like, come on. Throw me a little change.
You want to be the face of Cialis?
I would sell diapers, Sean. I don't give a damn. I don't care. I'll sell whatever you ask me to sell, except for divorce attorneys. That's out of bounds for me. They've ruined my life. So, yeah, got dark for a second.
Yeah, come on.
Well, I'm just saying.
Do you want to see what Mr. Majeens has to say on Twitch?
Sure, I do.
I don't think there's anything now.
Junior Broncos has some more. Love that Paul Sewald deleted his Twitter. Why did he delete his Twitter? Not his fault. You know, like, yeah, he allowed two runners on, but he didn't give up the home run. Robbie Ray should have deleted his Twitter. And Junior Broncos one more time as he continues to be the leader in the clubhouse of the player haters ball, the real Silky Johnson of us all. The Mariners organization and their fans is so dorky and weird, they deserve everything they get. Well, that's not nice. Are they the dorkiest fan base? I feel like the A's fans are dorkier. And I honestly, I can't stand A's fans. I get it. We do it
in an indie way. We don't spend money on our stadium. We have rats and sewage floating through the dugout.
Yeah, I said floating. Ooh, look at us. We have a band. We have a band at the game that plays a trumpet. We have a bunch of seagulls in attendance. There's probably more seagulls than fans. Like, there's this hipster vibe to them, and I just don't like it. Mariners fans, I like that they're self-deprecating and jaded. They remind me of Texans fans. I feel like they're the splitting image. I think that's why I got along with them so well. Anyway, we'll see what happens. The Astros, the Mariners, game two of the American League Divisional Series later on today on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coming up next, there are a couple of stories in sports that we haven't had the chance to touch on, and I'm still wondering if you're convinced that Framber Valdez will be better this postseason as opposed to last postseason. It's the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5. Houston's most interactive and possibly radioactive sports talk show continues now on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Here's one slammed into left field. How about that start to the World Series? Soler will take the trip. And he puts Atlanta up one zip with a first swing of the Fall Classic.
That was game one of last year's World Series. Joe Buck on the call. Framber Valdez struggled in that game. He struggled in game five. He struggled in the series before the first game he pitched against the Red Sox. He's even struggled against the Chicago White Sox. He didn't pitch well in four of the five starts that he had in last year's postseason. And while he had a great season this year with that quality start streak that got to 25 games in a row, I don't think that it guarantees that he'll be the same guy he is this regular season starting today in the postseason. I hope that I end up being wrong on that front. That the past in the postseason still looms large over Framber, especially after reading a couple of articles where he talks about working with a mental coach, a doctor who's making sure that he's not getting down on himself after a couple of things go wrong. And that's been an issue that he's admitted he's had in the past. He gets to prove that last year's postseason is behind him now. The regular season did not, at least in my book, because I think postseason baseball is a lot more difficult. I think we all agree on that front. It's just way, way ramped up. And you think about all the emotions that might be going through your mind, having had some of those past playoff failures. You could see how a guy like Clayton Kershaw never really has been able to overcome that, despite having filthy stuff. Some guys, it just gets to be too much for them. And, I mean, that's been Kershaw's entire playoff career. He's still a great pitcher, I think we would all agree. But we all think he's a choke artist, too. I'm not saying Framber's that. I'm just saying Framber's track record has not been good to this point, and I think he has to prove that he is a good playoff pitcher, and he can start that today. against the Seattle Mariners. 713-780-3776 if you disagree. You can call in or text in on the HRNP listener line, 713-780-ESPN. You could also tweet me, at Gallant Says, or join us on our Twitch chat, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. An interesting note, say you are somebody who believes that there is an East Coast bias. I do declare it is outrageous that our beloved Houston Astros must continue to play in this squalor of an early afternoon while the New York Yankees, clearly the inferior team, these northerners without any morals, living in their slum box of a city and paying $5,000 a month to live in a 100-square-foot room closet. These people get to play in primetime all the time. Well, not tonight, because per the New York Yankees Twitter account, tonight's Yankee Guardians game is postponed due to the forecast of sustained inclement weather. It'll be made up tomorrow, October 14th, at, get this, 1:07 p.m.
What? But they're the Yankees.
The Yankees, Sean Mapes, will be playing an afternoon game tomorrow.
Oh, but MLB ratings, a thing we all care about.
Well, they'll get the ratings during the early afternoon, Sean. Don't you understand? The world revolves around the Yankees. Aaron Judge, I mean, since we don't count Barry Bonds' home run record as the true home run record, he's still chasing Barry Bonds for the most home run in a year. Okay, we've shifted the goalposts again, because that's what we do when you're a loser franchise who hasn't done a damn thing since they blew the biggest lead in sports history in 2004 and then sold their soul bringing in noted cheater Alex Rodriguez to win a World Series in 2009. Oh, Robinson Cano is on that team too. No big deal. I'm sure that there wasn't anything nefarious going on his side of things. Been interesting to see in the playoffs the way that cheating has been observed, right? There was Joe Musgrove in the Padres and Dodgers series. There was also, what was the guy's name on the Cleveland Guardians who was having his very long hair looked at to see if there's any goop in it? Perhaps he's using it to grip the ball. I saw that yesterday. They're like combing his hair like they're investigating for lice or something.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, I saw a little video of it, and I guess nothing came of it. But it's been interesting to see teams starting to accuse other teams of cheating once again. And who would have thought the Yankees might have been one of them? Because that's just what they do. That's all they look for. This is what happens when you become a second-class organization. You just constantly look for others who are wronging you. They talk so much trash about the Mets and Mets fans. They have become Mets fans. They really have. Just a loser franchise, loser fans.
27 rings.
Like, whatever. I'm glad that we'll be able to watch that game in its entirety on Monday. Like, hate watching the Yankees is just as exciting to me as watching this Mariners-Astros series. I said Mariners first, didn't I? I got to put $5 in the fan jar for that one. That was a bad job by me. So I'm still shaking bad habits. It's been a while since I could hold my head up high. It's been a while since I could call you. I'm just continuing to ramble.
I'm just letting you go.
Damn Paul. It! I thought, you know what? I thought for a second you were gonna save me, Sean Mapes. Hey, I've got an idea. Let's talk about some things that we didn't get the chance to discuss over the last couple of days. Did you see Draymond Green was only fined for his altercation with Jordan Poole, where he punched him? And then got pissed off about the fact that somebody would dare to film him punching Jordan Poole and release it into the internet wild. Bobby Portis Jr., who plays for the Milwaukee Bucks, who punched a guy in practice and was suspended 8 games, thinks there's a double standard. There sure as bleep is. And also, I got to say, like, in 2022, who's better? As far as someone you want on your organization, let's be honest: is it Draymond Green or is it Bobby Portis Jr.? I feel like it's Bobby. Similar vibes with both of those players, but I think it's Bobby. I think it's clearly Bobby.
Yeah, I also would lean Bobby Portis. I think the difference comes down to Draymond Green has won 4 championships with the Warriors and didn't hurt Jordan Poole in the punch, where Bobby Portis actually broke Mirotic's jaw.
Fair. That's fair.
I think that's the biggest difference. Is if Jordan Poole was out for 8 weeks, I think it would be different.
Okay. That makes sense, Sean.
Which isn't a way you should do punishments, but it's the way punishments work.
I think it looks awful. And again, I'm not saying, oh my God, I can't believe he's not suspended for more games. But I mean, he just got fined. He looked like a total a-hole in that moment.
So he said he was going to take time away from the team. He said that last Thursday, I believe, or last Friday. So he's going to be back in a week.
So he gets a week off of practice in the preseason and a fine.
And Steve Kerr called it the worst crisis that they've ever faced, as an in this era of Warriors basketball, which means that the worst crisis they ever faced in this era of Warriors basketball is a fine and a week missed of practice from their fifth best player.
Oh, I figured the worst crisis that the Warriors have ever faced, Steve Kerr, would be COVID-19. Guess you didn't actually believe all those things you were saying.
Yeah, or gentrifying and moving from Oakland to San Francisco.
Oh, yeah, that too.
They got rich and then see y'all. Oakland.
Right, yeah, bye. Okay, bye.
We can afford a new stadium on the rich side of town later.
Although, what is the rich side of town in San Francisco?
I mean, it's richer.
Definitely more expensive. I was surprised when I went to San Francisco, the amount of trash everywhere. Been there once. It was in December. Beautiful weather. It is a beautiful city. But there's just a lot of trash just kind of floating around everywhere.
Yeah, because it's so expensive that there's more homeless.
Oh.
It's funny how that, when's the most expensive place to live in the country? Oh, a lot of homeless people around.
So
here.
Some of those people must be tech bros.
Well, no. They're all the people that don't work in tech.
Oh, I figured they were tech people. Some of them tech people that fell on hard times.
I don't know. Next time you're in San Francisco, walk up to one of them. See, can you help me with my iPhone?
Hey,
I've had trouble setting it up. T-Mobile has been able to help.
I'm not handing my phone to anybody ever again in my life. After it got stolen, no. That would get taken so fast.
And where did it get stolen?
At a festival.
Austin, Texas. The California of Texas.
That is so true. I didn't say it, but you did, Sean, and thank you. I appreciate that. Also, something we did not get to touch on. So, in the middle of that Monday night football game between the Raiders and Chiefs, we were all discussing the roughing the passer on Chris Jones. That was not a roughing the passer. But we did not talk at all about, at the end of the game, when Devontae Adams, now Las Vegas wide receiver, was storming off to the locker room, a freelance ESPN cameraman was nearby him, and Adams just dropped the guy to the floor. To Adams' credit, he at the very least apologized at the podium after, I would imagine, 10, 20, 30 minutes. Though someone probably might have told him, Devontae Adams just absolutely bulldozed the guy on national TV.
Well, because it was as Van Pelt was talking about the game or something, and then they just showed that clip, and you could see Scott Van Pelt going, whoa, that's not good.
Whoa.
And then, it blew up on Twitter. So between the shove being broadcast on TV and him stepping to the podium, I'm sure someone came up to him hey, you're going to have to address that.
Adams did apologize. We could try to grade the apologize. Here is Devontae Adams. I'm so sorry.
And before I answer anything else, I want to apologize to the guy. It was some guy running off the field, and he ran, jumped in front of me. We were coming off the field, and I bumped into him and kind of pushed him, and then he ended up on the ground. So I want to say sorry to him for that, because that was just frustration mixed with him running and literally just running in front of me. And that was shouldn't have responded that way, but that's how I initially responded. So I want to apologize to him for that.
I love apologies, man. I mean, he kind of just... I kind of just bumped into him.
And he
jumped the hell out of him.
And he mentioned that he ran in front of him 3 different times in the apology.
He
probably said the words "ran in front of me" more than he said "I apologize."
Between this and Draymond Green, it's really funny to hear these guys apologizing.
It's funny because if I were to grade this, about a 6 out of 10. Like, he at least said the words, I'm sorry.
He did say I'm sorry multiple times.
And yeah. I have to be better.
Green didn't apologize at all. He just said, like,
barely.
He said, like, it looked pathetic.
He said it was embarrassing and it was pathetic.
But more embarrassing and pathetic, someone recording me.
One of these guys making $80,000 selling something to TMZ.
Unbelievable. Just leaking that out there. Hey, like, I get it. You know, we don't want any of our trainers to be one of those guys living in an encampment on the side of the road. But anyway, Adams has been charged with misdemeanor assault. Technically, it's a violation of a city ordinance, which carries a lower penalty. But the guy's going after him. I'm curious as to how this one plays out. There's nothing quite like the love lost between the Chiefs and Raiders. It's pretty high up there. You know, as far as AFC West rivalries go, it's a pretty good one. And Raiders fans, of course, are a traveling, roving biker gang. All of them. If you are one, shout out. Keep wearing your vests. I'm not in your way. Stay away. Don't hurt me. I'm really curious to see how the Kansas City Police Department handles this. Because if you're in that police department, I'm sure that at least one of you is a diehard Chiefs fan. And how fair and objective are you going to be here? And even if it is a misdemeanor. Like, there's a part of you that wants to be like, yeah, I want to put a Raider in cuffs and put him on TV. Like, stroll him outside like it's a drug bust.
Yeah, have him do a perp walk.
Yeah, yeah. Davante Adams in custody. What is his future? Will he be back in the league?
We spend a lot of time talking about roughing the passer. What about Davante Adams roughing a photographer?
Yeah.
Next.
Photographers matter, too. Come on, guys. That's what you missed over the last couple of days. We've been talking a lot of Astros. We're going to continue to talk a lot of Astros as Framber Valdez is going to bounce back from his postseason woes last year. And in a game of would you rather, who would you rather have between Framber Valdez and Luis Castillo? Who would you rather have between Yordan Alvarez and Julio Rodriguez? You get to pick that next. Choose your own adventure next. But don't go anywhere. It is the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. First, let me tell you about my friends at BUSR.com/ESPN. Do you like money? Do you like gambling on the sports, too? Well, if you like both, guess what? You can go to BUSR.com/ESPN. And when you sign up, your initial deposit up to $1,000, they will double it within the first 24 hours. And you can bet on whatever you want. Hell, you can bet on Jose Altuve to go yard in the first inning. You can bet on all sorts of things on BUSR.com/ESPN because of their prop builder, whether it's pro football, college football, or baseball too. BUSR.com/ESPN is your place to go. But they got horse racing. They got roulette. They've got blackjack. They've got all sorts of means for you to gamble. And again, you just got to go today to sign up at BUSR.com/ESPN. BUSR.com/ESPN. You will double your first deposit within the first 24 hours. So do it. Play big. Win big today.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
In with the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
We do have someone weighing in from Raiders Nation on the text line. The most interactive sports talk show in Houston, the Paul Gallant Show, 713-780-3776. Hey, Paul, my name is Alex, and I'm a lifelong Raider fan. We're all not bad people, but we're not good people. We're somewhere in between. Props. I like that. I like that kind of honesty. We're somewhere in between. I mean, that is pretty much every single fan base when you really think about it. I am not convinced that Framber Valdez's 2022 regular season means that his 2021 postseason and other postseason struggles are in the rearview mirror. And all of those postseason struggles really came in 2021. He wasn't on the 2019 playoff roster for the Astros because he had those issues with command. But he's worked through it. He's hired a mental health coach, essentially, this doctor, and he's telling him about some of the bad habits he has. He's been clearly practicing exercises, whether in the dugout, on the mound, to try and stay in a neutral mindset. But those habits, while certainly helpful, are newly formed ones, and it just takes a high-pressure situation and a bad result in a playoff game to potentially shake you out of that altogether. So I'm not convinced. 713-780-3776 to call or text. To text, bruh, quit putting this out there in the cosmos. If he bleeps up, you're part of the jinx. Hey, another texter. Geez, stop talking about it. Fine, I'll stop talking about it. What should I say? The rest of the show. We could just do a little bit of sunshine. How optimistic can I sound? Jose Altuve, he went 0 for 4 in game 1. Guaranteed lock. This isn't a jinx to get a hit in this game. Guaranteed. He's the greatest Astro of all time, right? What'll happen if he doesn't get a hit? Tomorrow I'm going to lead off the show. Is Jose Altuve really the greatest Astro of all time? I can't say. But I mean, you know you're thinking about it. Look, I feel pretty good about today's game. As far as Luis Castillo goes, he's going to really have to, I think, shut this Astros lineup down early. And the way that things ended for the Stros, it feels like there's a lot of forward momentum from this game going into the second one, at least from the back. Once everyone started to get out there and play after all that time off, Dusty Baker kind of acknowledged it too in the post-game press conference, saying like, hey, listen, there was a little bit of extra rest for these guys, and maybe that's why Verlander had the issues that he did. But when the game wore on, and I think after the initial adrenaline for the Mariners wore off, though they still were pretty productive offensively throughout that game, I think you saw an Astros team that you're very familiar with in the playoffs, especially in the eighth and the ninth, maybe not to that kind of clutch degree. I think that the offense, though, that's a great way to finish the game and be aggressive right out of the chute. Attack Luis Castillo. I feel like you'll probably end up scoring. Thomas is weighing in at 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN on the HRNP listener line. Thomas, what's up?
What's going up, Paul? Just wanted to call in and put some good juju out there for the boys.
Okay.
I know you're talking a little down on Valdez, but I mean, you just got to believe. I think we have to have a cocky swagger, but just be confident, but also just relax. Cause yeah, I mean, it's game one that we came back and won, and there's still a lot of games to be played. So we're going to take this. It's going to be Jose Altuve, Jeremy Pena coming up, and then Yordan probably bring it home with maybe Reggie Big Sticks. But yeah, I'm just enjoying this Starbucks coffee right now.
You can't have that. No Starbucks is allowed here, Thomas. We don't play that. Okay, it's a triggering memory for me. It's from the time that I got canceled. Right. Yeah, Thomas, you're bringing up bad juju to me. Okay, turning the tables on you. But that's fair, Thomas. We'll try to keep the bad juju away and appreciate the phone call there. Positive vibes. You want to bring them to the table? Because you know I'm not capable of it. I'm just such a negative Nancy out here. I can't help it. You know, hearing him talk, Thomas, about just being confident. Have you ever gone through life thinking to yourself, man, what if I just had no doubt? What if I had no self-doubt whatsoever? Because it compromises all of us in some way, shape, or form, right? Like, there's always moments where you're like, do I really have this? For me, it's just constant. And sometimes I wish I was just a dumb idiot that, like, and I am, but like a real dumb idiot that was just like, yep, I'm fine. Everything's great.
A confident dumb idiot.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because that's a blissful way to go through life. You're just confident at all times. You could be completely wrong about everything. No, you're wrong. Actually, sir, 2 + 2 = 4. That's what the liberal media wants you to think.
That's what we get taught.
Yeah, we get taught that in our school books. But think about what they're teaching us these days. They're teaching us all sorts of things. 713-780-3776. We got Chris on the Most Interactive Sports Talk Show. Chris, what's up?
Yeah, hey, Paul. Hey, listen, this year is going to be different, man.
Framber.
The relationship between... Well, I'm talking about Framberg pitching better this year in the playoffs.
Right.
You know, his relationship with Maldi is a lot different. I mean, I don't know if you saw that picture on Twitter a couple of days ago, Paul, where, you know, it's the off day and Fromberg is laying on Maldonado's knee. I mean, that's how close these guys are, you know? And for anybody out there who was calling for Christian to hit today, you know, just to start over Maldi because of the offense, they don't know what the hell they're talking about.
No.
I'm not going to mention names, but I mean, Maldi and Fromberg are like, you know, yin and yang, and he's going to prove it today.
Okay, Chris, I like the phone call. May have called me out there. In fact, I think he totally did, but he did it in such a polite way that I love it.
It was way nicer about it than you were volunteering the, it was me.
It was me.
Sir, dunk on me, please.
You can dunk on me, Sean Mapes. Chris, you can dunk on me. If you think I'm wrong, go ahead. Come at me all confrontational. We can still be friends afterwards. But yeah, that was the nicest way to go about it. That was a bless your heart. He didn't say
really
bless
was,
your heart,
yeah.
But that was a bless your heart call.
Some people, you know, they don't know as much about baseball and they think Christian Vasquez just called. I won't name names. Paul.
Sean, we might need to do a bless your heart call of the day. Or maybe just a bless your heart segment. You just call it and just
a
like,
condescension.
Yeah, like be like polite and condescendingly disagree with me. And be like, you know, some people, you know, who have their homes broken into by Antifa, like they don't understand that Starbucks actually is, you know, the best bang for your buck for coffee. Although it isn't. Like that's the thing I don't get about the Starbucks obsessors. You can make coffee at your house. It's not that hard. You buy a coffee machine, they cost like $20. You get a coffee filter, you put some grounds in before you go to bed, you put some water in, you time it so it goes off the same time every day, voila, you're saving a ton of money, and you don't have to go to a Starbucks drive-thru to pay $5 for like a Italian-sized coffee. Venti? Grande? What? I know that's like an old, like retired stand-up bit, but get over yourself, Starbucks. The funniest thing about Seattle, and I'm sorry, I'm going off on a tangent here, but the funniest thing about Seattle is that there are losers who go to this city visiting to go see the original Starbucks. You're going to go to the original McDonald's, like in Indiana, in like Gary, Indiana? Freezing cold outside. There's like black ice all over the parking lot. Yeah, I can't wait to go to the original McDonald's. That's what you're doing. And by the way, it's not even the original Starbucks. It's not. It's the second Starbucks. But they turned it into the original Starbucks. And you see people outside like doing selfies and taking pictures of themselves. I mean, it makes me get into Paul Attenborough mode.
Here we have the basic bitch walking around, strutting her stuff, poking her derriere out, taking pictures outside of an establishment that she has found to be the key to life during October of every year when she acquires a pumpkin spice latte. She drinks the pumpkin spice latte and it slides down her throat. The warm liquid finds its way into her stomach. The caffeine gives her a boost for the rest of the day as she looks forward into the horizon on what will happen the remainder of the day. She takes her camera out and takes a selfie, posting it to Instagram in the hopes that her now caffeinated booty will help secure a mate.
Planet Earth, everybody. I'm Paul Gallant. This is the Paul Gallant Show, 713-780-3776. Coming up next, we wrap things up with the best call of the Yordan Alvarez home run that you will hear and some final thoughts before game two between the Astros and Mariners today at Minute Maid Park. Don't go anywhere. The Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. Locked in with the Paul Gallant Show.
You're locked in here with me.
Please send help from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
La pelota no se va, es la pelota la que vuela, esta pelota sigue y esta pelota.
Esto se va de cuadrangular. Toma tu paletón. Palo, palo, palo por la calle. La saca del parque de pelota. Y los otros de Houston dejan sentidos en el terreno a los Marlins de Seattle. Toma tu paletón. ¡Qué batazo! Esa castigó a la de 108 costuras. Y los Astros de Houston con la victoria ante los Marlins de Seattle.
Injected all into my veins. Man, if that doesn't get you pumped up, I don't know what will. Little machine head by Bush. The Spanish call of the Astros walk-off win. Game one against the Seattle Mariners, 8-7. Yordan Alvarez with that three-run shot. Francisco Romero on the call. Wonderful job. We're going to need to get more calls by him over the course of this postseason. That sounded fantastic. E315 says Paul doubled up on his Addy today. That is incorrect. I am not prescribed that. You watch your mouth. Drugs are illegal.
Drugs are bad, okay? Drugs are bad.
Although you probably could be prescribed
that
particular drug.
I should be prescribed.
I was going to say should, but I decided to hold back and say could, because I'm not a doctor.
You gave me a bless your heart. I appreciate that.
Bless your heart, Paul. You're doing your best.
I try my best. I mean, that stuff is essentially what? Speed? Meth? Both? I don't know. I'm just naturally wired like this. Imagine if I had something in my system. That could be disastrous. A couple of comments on the text line 713-780-3776. I did go on a bit of a rant about Starbucks. I'm in line at Starbucks right now. Shut up, Paul, says Michael. Well, look.
Thanks for listening.
Are you going to be in Starbucks again? A line for Starbucks again? Think about that. Free yourself. There are alternative options. I don't know. What about your mom and pop Starbucks? Or excuse me, mom and pop Starbucks. See, that's how bad Starbucks is. You think coffee shop, but you don't think coffee shop. You think Starbucks right away. And in Massachusetts, it's ridiculous. You only find Dunkin' Donuts. It's like Massachusetts was like, yeah, we ain't going to do that stuff. Starbucks? Sounds like it's for losers, dude. We just got to have Dunkin' Donuts. I lived in a town of 14,000 people growing up in Massachusetts. There were seven Dunkin' Donuts in this town. I'm convinced that there were more Dunkin' Donuts than minority families in that town. I'm like 100% convinced of this.
There's a Dunkin' Donuts for every 2,000 people.
Seriously. It's ridiculous. I have no idea why it has established such a monopoly there. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not a chain coffee guy. I like to make it on my own. H-E-B is the Texas pecan. What more could you ask for? It's better than anything Starbucks has. You know where the Starbucks coffee comes from. It's in one of those little vats. They're charging you $5 to put it in a cardboard cup for you. Anyway, some comments. Some people aren't thrilled with the seemingly anti-Framber Valdez bias today. What are people talking about? Framber, the same guy that had the best in quality starts in MLB history, he'll be okay. Regular season versus the postseason, that's all I'm saying. All I am saying. And if he proves me wrong, he proves me wrong. But I'm a little skeptical going forward. There are some people also that were in disagreement with the bless your heart call by, I believe, Chris, when it has to do with Martin Maldonado as a catcher. Maldonado does seem to have a good relationship with Framber Valdez, but he's not a very good hitter. Give me a break. Maldi started with Verlander. Why didn't he take the blame? These idiots who don't see the 120-point better average with the same defense are idiots for Vasquez and for Maldonado. That comes from Eric. Yep, I'm with Eric on that one. I don't think that the defense is like that different. I don't think that Martin Maldonado is Bill Belichick behind the plate either, you know? Like Bill Belichick with a masterful game plan defensively to throw the Mariners off their game. No, I don't see that happening.
It is a good point that he never catches any of the flack of, like, if there's a bad start, it's never because it's like Lance was talking about this morning with Mike McCarthy, where every bad loss is on McCarthy, but yes. The fact that Cooper Rush is like up to speed with the offense and they're 4-1, that's all Cooper Rush.
No, that's Cooper Rush and it's noted jaw hanging wide open offensive coordinator Kellen Moore. One of my Cowboy fans' friends brought this up to me while I was watching the Cowboys 49ers game at their house in the playoffs, and I remember all of us were like, from that point forward, whoa. Whenever they cut to him on the sideline, his mouth is like, it's jarring.
It's like drawing. It's like it's like when it first got pointed out that all Jason Garrett does is clap.
Yep.
Where, like, then when you see, you're like, oh, he's clapping.
Yes.
Every time they show him.
He, it's just like a blank stare that can only happen if somebody has been sitting in a philosophy class for 50 minutes and it's too warm in there and you're trying your hardest to stay awake as they kept y'all about, like, how Socrates was doing something. By the way, yeah, I know. We're all over the place. Shut up. We're not even going to do a garbage time today on this one. It is kind of funny how philosophy class goes. But look, Astros class. What? Stop laughing, okay? You're going to keep me off track.
Funny how philosophy class
shut
goes.
Shut up. We got to land the plane.
Starbucks, people.
Starbucks. It's a thing.
Airplane food.
What's the deal with airplane food? What's the deal with Starbucks? What's the deal with philosophy class? What's the deal with the Houston Astros today against the Seattle Mariners? We landed the plane. There we go. Big thanks to everybody who tuned into that absolute abortion of a final segment. Go and hang out with the Killer Bees with the Wheelhouse at Wakefield Crowbar. They are going to be there to watch the Astros game. I will be at Minute Maid Park. Look for me. I will be roaming around. Say whatever you want to me. I would love to meet you in person. So long. Farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Thursday and go Astros.
ESPN 97.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.